Amen.
Thinking of that last phrase we just sang, it said, formed thee for his own abode. In other words, if you could build any house you wanted, what would you build for your abode? How would you make it? He formed thee, each one of us, for his own abode. He formed us just exactly how he wanted us. And he wants to live within each of us. Praise the Lord. Tremendous thought. Amen. Let's take our Bibles tonight, if you would, please, and turn to Proverbs 19. Proverbs 19, looking at the topic, listening to the right words. Listening to the right words. Amen. And Brother Johnson, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir?
Thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity to be in your house here this evening, Father. Just ask, Father, that you give us the ability to learn from your word here tonight, Father. Help us to apply it to our lives and help us to be better equipped to serve you as a result of being here and hearing your word preached here tonight, Father. We just ask that you bless the service here tonight. Give the pastor the words to say that you know, Father, would be an encouragement and a help to each one of us in here tonight. Father, we think of those that aren't able to be here tonight, too, that especially Megan and the baby, that you just ministered to them. Father, just give them the help and strength they need, encourage their hearts. We think of Brother John, too, while he's not with us. But Father, you continue to protect him and use him in your service, and may souls be drawn to you as a result of his labor. Father, we just thank you for your goodness and mercy to us in Jesus' name and pray.
Amen. Amen. Proverbs 19, and let's read verse 20 and 21. Proverbs 19:20. The Bible says, hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. In our lives, many times we hear a multitude of voices. You might be in the house. There might be many different conversations going on. If you have children, you might have one child playing all by himself or herself, talking to a pretend friend. And so there's that conversation. And then a couple of your other children may be talking, or maybe more of them talking together about some topic, something. There might be adults in the room. An adult might be on the phone talking to someone else, or you might have two or more adults talking to each other. So sometimes in a home situation, there are a lot of different conversations going on, and you might be a part of one of those conversations, or you might be trying to read your Bible, or you might be trying to pray, or you might be trying to read another book. And so your mind goes on what you're reading, and then you'll hear something, and then your brain will follow that trail listening to that conversation. They say, wait a minute, I want to concentrate. So I get back here, and then I hear another conversation going on. Somebody's on the phone, and they're talking to someone, and for some reason, now my brain is going on that conversation. And so it's like there are many different conversations going on. And which one should I be listening to, if any of them? Maybe I'm not a part of the conversation. Maybe, like I said, I'm trying to read my Bible or pray or read another book. So all these conversations, and it's the same way spiritually. We need to be focused on the right words. So let's go to Acts 21. Acts 21 and verse 1. We'll read verses 1 through 6 of Acts 21. Number 1, if you're taking notes tonight, Paul did not listen to those disciples from Tyre who warned him not to go to Jerusalem. That's a long point. I'll say it again. Number 1, Paul did not listen to those disciples from Tyre who warned him not to go to Jerusalem. So this was a conversation that took place that he didn't take heed to. He didn't follow along with it. So in Acts 21, verse 1. And it came to pass that after we were gotten from them and had launched, we came with a straight course unto Coas, and the day following unto Rhodes, and from thence unto Patara. And finding a ship sailing over unto Phoenicia, we went aboard and set forth. Now when we had discovered Cyprus, we left it on the left hand and sailed into Syria and landed at Tyre. For there the ship was to unlade her burden. And finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem. And when we had accomplished those days, we departed and went our way. And they all brought us on our way with wives and children till we were out of the city. And we kneeled down on the shore and prayed. And when we had taken our leave one of another, we took ship, and they returned home again. So Paul did not take heed to this conversation that was going on his behalf. Why should the great pioneer missionary, the Apostle Paul, why should he listen to these disciples from Tyre? What were their names? Verse 4, and finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem. What were their names? We don't know, do we? They're not given. So it doesn't list their names. So obviously they were not well-known people, or he would have listed their names. Sometimes Paul went into great detail. Notice, if you hold your place here and turn me to Romans 16. Sometimes Paul went into great detail with names that he wanted remembered because they were very special to him in his ministry. In Romans 16, verse 1, we'll go down through 7. Verse 1, I commend unto you who? Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, and that you receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her, and whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succorer of who? Many, and of myself also. Greet who? Priscilla and who? Aquila, my what? Helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphroditus, who is the firstfruits of Achaia unto Christ. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. And on verse 7 and on, Paul lists name after name after name. So these people were very special to him. But you know what? I could not find any reference. Of course, we're not given the names back in Acts 21. But I cannot find any other reference in the New Testament that could be referring to these people at all. So at the end of any of the epistles, Paul didn't say, and I thank the Lord for those guys at Tyre who tried to warn me not to go to Jerusalem. We never see them thanked. We don't know their names at all. So he never seemed to mention them. Why should then the great Apostle Paul listen to these disciples? Why? They obviously are not greatly known in the early church. Why should he pay any attention to their warning? Well, let's go back to Acts 21 and verse 4 and see if we can discern why. It says, and finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through what? The Spirit, that he should not go up to Jerusalem. Why should he have listened to them? Because they were speaking to him through the Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit who was prompting these men, these disciples, to warn Paul not to go to Jerusalem. It did not matter that they were not renowned. It did not matter that they were not well known. It does not matter that we don't know their names. But they were the servants of the Lord, and they were speaking to him through the Holy Spirit. God can use anyone who's willing to yield to the Holy Spirit. There might be some people, and we're going to go on here, but there might be some people in our lives that are very well known and very renowned that might give us some advice. It might be good advice. It might not be good advice. But would we tend to listen more to them than to someone that maybe this was the first time Paul was meeting these people at Tyre, these disciples. It reminds me, we went to Grand Rapids many years ago to listen to a very well-known preacher. And afterwards, I went up to talk to him and I said to him, I said that I pray for you every day. And I did. I had him on my prayer list. I said, I pray for you every day. And he looked at me so strange and never said thank you. He just looked at me really strange. And I just got the feeling that, who are you? It was the strangest thing. Usually when people say to me, I'm praying for you, I thank them, don't you? We had a couple of people that wrote in orders and made orders for gospel tracts and Bible courses this week. And a couple of them talked about praying for us. And you know what I do to them? I say, thank you. That's the first thing I thank them for, is their prayers. I don't know them personally, but I thank the Lord for their prayers. So these people here, unknown, but they were not just giving Paul advice. It was the Holy Spirit prompting them. It says in verse 4, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem. So, Paul just brushed off that conversation. It's like, you know, who are you? Now, it doesn't say that, who are you? But he didn't take it to heart at all. Number two, Paul did not listen to Agabus from Judea, who warned him not to go to Jerusalem. In chapter 21, still here in Acts, verse 7, Acts 21, 7. And when we had finished our course from Tyre, we came to Ptolemais and saluted the brethren and abode with them one day. And the next day we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea. And we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. And the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, thus saith who?
Holy Ghost.
The Holy Ghost. So shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. So this first group of disciples, we don't know their names, but they through the Spirit told him not to go to Jerusalem. Now Agabus comes down from Judea and warns Paul and binds himself with his garment and mentions that it through the Holy Spirit. Verse 11, thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle. Now this second warning got the disciples here a little stirred up. Notice verse 12. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. So those traveling with him had heard now two warnings, and they're getting a little concerned. And then the people that were there were concerned about it too. But what does Paul do? Well, it's like you're in the house and there's all these conversations going on, and it's like, well, that conversation doesn't concern me. So you just try to, you know, get it out of your mind. Verse 13. Then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. He just kind of brushes it off, shrugs it off, is kind of emotional. Listen, stop talking that way. You're going to break my heart. Listen, I'm ready to go up to Jerusalem and die for the name of the Lord. So stop with the emotional junk. You know, don't make this a big drama. I'm going. So, you know, just don't get so emotional over it. You know, there were some other disciples that talked like that too. He's saying there in verse 13, you know, he's ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. If you'd hold your place here, let's turn to Matthew 26. There were some other disciples that talked that way once too. And things didn't go so well for them either. In Matthew 26:33, we'll go down through 35. Verse 33, Peter answered and said unto him, though, who? All men shall be offended because of thee, yet will what? I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, though I should what? Die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Well, was that true? No. Verse 55, in that same hour, said Jesus to the multitudes, are ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and ye laid no hold on me. But all this was done, that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then who? All the disciples what? Forsook him and fled. Well, so much for the big talk. Well, so Paul here, back in Acts 21, he says in verse 13, hey, cut out the emotional stuff. I'm going. I'm ready to die there. I'm ready to be bound. No problem. So, in verse 15, Acts 21, actually verse 14, let's go. Acts 21:14. And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, the will of the Lord be done. And after those days, we took up our carriages and went up to Jerusalem, despite the warnings. Back to the point, why should Paul listen to Agabus? I mean, hey, isn't Paul a greater prophet and missionary than Agabus? Why should he listen to him? Well, we read the reason, but back in verse 11, Acts 21:11. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, thus saith who? The Holy Ghost. So shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. He was saying, thus saith the Holy Ghost. It wasn't Agabus giving his opinion. He was telling what the Holy Ghost said. Well, Paul goes anyway. So Acts 21 down to verse 17. Acts 21:17. And when we were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. And the day following, Paul went in with us unto who? James. And all the elders were present. Now, James had evidently become the pastor of the Jerusalem church, because this is not the only place that it singles out his name when it comes to decisions going on. Remember when there was the big fuss about whether you had to be circumcised or not to be saved? You remember what happened? Let's go back to chapter 15, Acts 15 and verse 13. Acts 15:13. So they're having this big discussion about the circumcision and salvation. And then in verse 13, and after they had held their peace, who answered? James. James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. And then he goes on describing what Simeon had said. And then verse 15, the prophets agree with that. And he continues on there. Verse 18, known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. So verse 19, wherefore what? My sentence is. So James had become the leader of the Jerusalem church, the pastor. Wherefore, my sentence is that we trouble them not, which from among the Gentiles are turned to God. And then he goes on with the instruction there. So back in Acts 21, we see in verse 18, once again, in the day following, Paul went in with us unto James, and all the elders were present. So James is the pastor there. He's the leader, and the elders are all there with him. So he goes in, and in verse 19, and when he had saluted them, he declared particularly what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord and said unto him, Thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe, and they are all zealous of the law. And they are informed of thee that thou teachest all the Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, neither to walk after the customs. What is it therefore? The multitude must needs come together, for they will hear that thou art come. Do therefore this, that what? We say to thee. Have you noticed any difference about this than the previous two? Remember the disciples from Tyre? The Holy Ghost is what told them to give the warning to Paul. Agabus, the Holy Ghost, is what who gave the warning through Agabus. But now, so there's these unknown people. There's Agabus. He's known, but we don't read about him a lot. But now there are these very well-known. James, the leader of the Jerusalem church, the elders of the Jerusalem church. Now they tell him something. Do therefore this that we say to thee. There's no place there that says the Holy Ghost moved them to say that. They don't even claim that God told them to tell them. They just say, do this that we say to thee. We have four men which have a vow on them. Them take and purify thyself with them, and be at charges with them, that they may shave their heads, and all may know that those things whereof they were informed concerning thee are nothing, but that thou thyself also walketh orderly and keepest the law. So then they start in verse 25. Well, you know, it's touching the Gentiles, Paul. You know, we haven't told them to do this, but we don't have time, but we could go into where Paul at one point rebuked Peter in front of everybody because of hypocrisy between Jews and Gentiles. And now he's being given advice to compromise here. Verse 26, then Paul took the men, and the next day, purifying himself with them, entered into the temple to signify the accomplishment of the days of purification. Until that, what? An offering should be offered for every one of them. Their advice here is pure compromise and hypocrisy is what it was. They were not saying it on the authority of the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost would have never given that advice. Deeply compromised. What was Paul doing? What was James doing, giving advice for Paul and these other four men to offer offerings? The veil of the temple had been rent in two. Jesus had died on the cross saying, it is finished, John 19:30. Notice with me, if you hold your place, Hebrews 10 and verse 17. Hebrews 10:17. Where do you ever see Christians offering sacrifices after Jesus' death? You don't. Hebrews 10:17, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more what? Offering for sin. Look in chapter 10, Hebrews 10, and let's back up to verse 1. Hebrews 10:1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have what? Ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou what? Wouldst not. But a what? A body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldst not. Neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the what? The offering of the body of Jesus Christ, what? Once for all. And you can go on down through chapter 10. Actually, Hebrews 9 and 10 just show over and over that it was one sacrifice for all. So it was this compromise. Paul knew better than that. But see, he had received two warnings about he shouldn't go. And now he gets there, and the renowned in the church are telling him, listen, do what we say. No scriptural authority. Paul knew full well he should not be involved in offering any sacrifices. Christ had done that already. So back in Acts 21, verse 27, what happens? He listens to the renowned, not to the unknown, not to the lone Agabus prophet. What happens? Verse 27, and when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews, which were of Asia, when they saw him, where? In the temple, stirred up all the people and laid hands on him, crying out, men of Israel, help! This is the man that teacheth all men everywhere against the people and the law and this place. And further, brought Greeks also into the temple and hath polluted this holy place. For they had seen before with him in the city Trophimus, an Ephesian, whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple. Now this shows us that Paul had been seen in the city with Trophimus. Verse 29 here. Once again, for they had seen before with him in the city Trophimus and Ephesian. I want you to notice that these same people had already seen Paul in the city. And they didn't start a riot. It was when he went into the temple, observing this hypocrisy, is what stirred up the riot against him. They had seen him in the city and all was fine. It was because he took this unscriptural advice that got him into all the trouble. When they saw him in the temple, verse 27, that is what made them furious. And of course, he should have never been in there offering any sacrifice. So he didn't listen to the little people. He shrugged it off. Later, he didn't listen to Agabus. He didn't listen to those traveling with him, those other disciples there. He just, too much drama, too much emotionalism. Get out of here. I'm ready to die. I'm ready to face whatever up there. So he shrugged it all off. And so he said he was ready to die. He even said he's ready to be bound. But you know what? He ended up spending 4 years in prison because of this compromise. 2 years at Caesarea, and then 2 years under house arrest in Rome. Notice in Acts 24:27. So he was in Jerusalem, and these 40 men vow that they're not going to eat or drink till they kill him. So he's sent to Caesarea, and up there, verse 27, but after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. So 2 years in prison. Did God use Paul in prison? Yes, he used him in prison. He used him under house arrest in Rome, reaching people. But the point is that was not God's perfect will. God's perfect will was Paul to be doing what he had been doing freely. But because of his own unwillingness to listen to the Holy Ghost, he ended up 4 years in prison. The other two in Acts 28:30. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him. So God used him. People came to him. He still used them, just like God uses us. But how much more might he want to use us if we would do his perfect will? So what is God's perfect will for us? We need that direction from the Holy Ghost. We need that direction from the Word of God. And that's what the Holy Ghost will use, is the Word of God. That is what we need to direct us. It's someone considered great might have good advice for us, might have bad advice for us. But we can't count on anyone's advice. We can only count on the Word of God. Notice in Romans 12. So Paul didn't listen. 4 years in prison. He was just thinking, although he did say he was ready to go up there and be bound, but I think he was thinking more about, I'm ready to go up there and be martyred for the Lord. But that isn't what happened on that whole scenario. Later he would be. But he had spent 4 years without his freedom because of that. In Romans 12:1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto who? Unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. You know, it's no wonder that God had to move the church center, really, from Jerusalem to Antioch. It was Antioch where they were first called Christians. It was Antioch, really, that was the missionary sending forth church. It wasn't Jerusalem. And is it any wonder? Because of the deep compromise that was at the church of Jerusalem. So verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of what? Your mind. Where do we get transformed and renewing of our minds? Where do we get faith? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God, Romans 10:17. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, just from reading the Bible, just the proofs, just from, like with the Apostle Paul, shows us that the Bible is truly the Word of God. Because If the Bible was the work of man trying to build up certain people, they would have never had this part written about Paul. Never. Why? Because it shows he made a mistake. It shows he was a man, that he made mistakes, that he didn't always listen to God. But you can see that it is a divine book, the Bible, because it shows man for what he is. How many great men in the Bible made no mistakes. Most frequently, David, Solomon, most frequently when someone is exalted, that's when they make a mistake. Because they get to depending upon themselves instead of God. So may God help us, verse 2, to renew our minds in the Word of God so we can prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Word. Lord, please help us. Help us not to be lazy. Lord, it's so easy for us to go to someone else and ask them what we should do instead of immersing ourselves in your Word, asking for the Holy Ghost to teach us, to guide us what to do, what your perfect will is for our lives. Lord, please protect us. Father, we're not trying to pick on Paul tonight. We're trying to learn from his life. It's so easy for us to just take great stock in what important people tell us to do. But we so often neglect to even consider what little people tell us to do. So, Father, please help us to be humble and just immersed in your Word, reading it, trying to glean direction for our lives. Father, if there should be any here tonight who have never been saved, help them to realize tonight that Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, is God Almighty in the flesh, born of a miraculous virgin birth, lived a perfect life without sin, and then died on the cross, bearing our sin in his own body on the tree. He was buried and rose again in victory, proving that his blood, his pure, sinless blood, was enough to cleanse us from all our sin. May no one leave here without repenting and trusting Jesus Christ as Savior. Please work in our hearts now, in Jesus' name. Amen.